Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thank you. Gentlemen and guns coming.
That's right. Another podcast in the month of many. I'm dropping them all in celebration of my show on Travel Channel's premiere June 2nd at 8 p.m. Just watch it. That's all I want you to do is take all this free content and just enjoy it. Trip Flip premieres June 2nd at 8 p.m. on Travel Channel with a double premiere episode. Make sure to watch both Michigan and Louisiana. I'm still on my sabbatical. This is still technically day one. I was 242 last night. I was 239 this morning. I'm posting these on Periscope. So if you don't already, follow me on Periscope and watch me chronicle my weight loss. And don't think I wasn't inspired by Doug Stanhope's tin can rehab. That was quite honestly the best month of podcasting I've ever witnessed. And so I figured I'd do something similar and just drop awesome podcasts. But talk to you now and tell you how I'm doing or show it on Periscope and then just have great podcasts. And man, I got a ton of great ones coming up. I talked to Neil Brennan. I talked to Todd Glass. I talked to Jason Ellis. I got Tully scheduled for Friday from Jason Ellis' show. Al Jackson, Ryan Dalton, Allison Rosen, Jim Jeffries. These will all be dropped for you for free. I hope you enjoy. And today, quite honestly, is maybe, and I'm not even fucking around, the best podcast I've ever done. I've never been more enthralled by one human being's story next to Joey Diaz. Just that fucking authentic. You might know him as the winner of Last Comic Standing. You might know him as the guy that opened up for Gabe for, you know, 5 years. I know him as one of the funniest comics working. I saw him one time perform at Dublin's in L.A., and he knocked my socks off. I knew he had stories, but the story you're about to hear is honestly something I only thought happened in movies. I'm telling you when I say this, if you were ever to share this podcast with anyone, this is the one to do it. Mind you, I have a ton to go. I only hope that I learned something from today and that he shut the fuck up and let him talk. Because what you're about to hear, I'm telling you, have me on the edge of my seat. And I'm a good audience. I know good stories when I hear good stories. Today's guest, Felipe Esparza.
This is
cool.
That's the new one, right?
The Zoom 8. Zoom. Yo, it's a Zoom 6. You're right. H6. Yeah, it's pretty good. You're talking that.
That thing you're holding it with, what is that?
Oh, this is the Dinkum system. They're clamps my buddy gave me. So I grab them. I got them all over there.
That's the shit, man.
He's my new DP for my new show, so I'll tell him
Talisa
to hook you up with some.
Yeah, man, that's badass. Didn't you have it like that and then it hits me? Or
yeah,
what?
He created the clamp. And then, you know, off the record, but on the record, he brought it to GoPro to try to sell it to them, and they fucking stole the idea.
Fuck, that's badass.
And then he sued them, and they had to fucking settle with him. It's a pretty badass clamp, right?
Yeah.
It's great, because we use them on my TV show, so, like, we'll just fucking... Do you want anything to drink?
I have water.
Okay, we use them on my TV show, and you just fucking throw a GoPro on it, slap a Dinkum on, you just hook it on, and it fucking there, and you can take them off.
Your TV show was...
For Travel Channel.
Not Bert the Conqueror, right?
No, it's coming back. Bert the Conqueror is coming back, yeah. Bert the Conqueror.
I used to watch the one where you went with the couples.
That's it. That's Trip Flip. It starts showing again June 2nd at 8 p.m.
I saw you when you went with a black couple somewhere.
By the way, Cabo.
That's the one I saw.
You want to know something interesting about that?
I look scared, bro, to do anything. I felt like he wanted to say, man, what we got myself into?
Yeah. His name is John, and he wasn't a very strong swimmer, but we were too afraid to look racist and ask what his swimming level was, So we didn't just we just left it. We were like, fine, he'll be fine.
Should've and then he got, you're not Cuban, huh?
And so, but he had a hard time swimming and he almost drowned. But him and his wife Tanae and I went out and went swimming with sea lions. It was really great. They were
turned it off.
Is that you? They're a great couple. They still live in. I hang out with all the couples still.
Where I grew up, everybody that was black could swim. I don't know. I started growing up, black people can't swim. Everybody in my neighborhood could swim.
Yeah. Wait, you grew up in East LA?
Yeah, Boyle Heights.
Yeah.
It's like the capital of East LA.
Really?
It's like when you. It's like East LA looks down at Boyle Heights and goes, nah, we're better. And Boyle Heights say, nah, we're better. Then they say, nah, man, you guys ain't shit. You guys are like by the factories. So where I grew up, we're surrounded by nothing but warehouses.
I'm trying to figure out where Boyle Heights is. I don't know if I've ever been over there.
You probably have if you've been through on 4th Street in Soto or by General Hospital area, USC Medical Center.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Have you ever been hurt? Or driving by it on the way to Long Beach.
Okay, yeah, I know where it is now. Boyle Heights. Was it a rough neighborhood?
It was pretty well. It's rough, you know, from the out when once you leave it, like you go back and you start thinking about it. Oh well, it must have been rough. But when you're a part of it, you don't see it as rough no more. You just like you just go with it.
Yeah.
Or you forget. But sometimes you think about it, okay, wow, man, I forgot. The guy next door was selling crack out of his house. Because I used to live with my mom. I have 5 brothers, 1 sister. We grew up in Boyle Heights. These projects called Pico Gardens. But there was no gardens. Fucking no gardens. And there was like, it's funny, like there was first playground was the beginning of the Pico Gardens. And there was a second playground. So these projects went from 1st Street all the way to 6th Street.
Really?
So that's how big it was.
That's like huge. That's like out by the tar pits, that huge housing complex for actors.
Yeah, that one. That one was supposed to be originally a housing project too.
Oh, yeah?
It became a military home.
Yeah.
But they couldn't rent them, but now it's like a gated community.
Yeah, yeah.
The windows are gated. The back doors gated.
So wait, are you the oldest?
I'm the oldest, man.
And I always say you're the first person I think I ever saw do stand up that I went, everything's fucking real, like, you know, like there's no fakeness to it. Like I remember seeing you, I told you this, that we were at the bar
at Dublin's, right?
Yeah, Dublin's for the first time, and you had me fucking howling laughing, and it was just like everything came off very fucking genuine. Did you ever think of trying to heighten it, or is that just your life and that's the way you talk about it?
At first, you know, I try to be like writing jokes because I started off deadpan.
Yeah.
I used to like Stephen Wright.
Yeah.
So all my jokes were like, so how you guys doing tonight? Good, all right.
Yeah.
So it was all deadpan. But then I started working rooms where you can't be deadpan.
Yeah.
People start yelling shit out, man. Stop stuttering up there, motherfucker.
Really?
Stop mumbling up there. Because I used to have, you know, you don't know it's a speech impairment till you grow out of it. You know, oh, okay, that's a speech impairment. Eh? I thought I was just talking retarded my whole life. Like my father would like tell me like, talk right. Like, yeah. But like, you know, you're scared, you know. So I would just mumble my words. So my dad would say that you talk in Spanish, you know, you sound como una ametralladora. That means a machine gun.
Really?
Da 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 da.
Yeah.
You know? So you tell a machine gun, you'd be like da 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 da.
Was that just English or Spanish too?
Spanish.
Spanish?
Spanish. I would mumble Spanish. But then it's funny, man, when you have a stuttering problem or you stutter, if you sing, you know it don't come out like you stutter.
Yeah.
And then when you do speaking words like out loud,
yeah,
it doesn't come out as stuttering. Because, you know, you're speaking something like you wrote or somebody wrote for you.
Yeah.
When I read, it comes out natural. But if I get nervous, I get a little stuttering, you know.
Really?
Like when I had Emilio Rivera on my podcast.
Yeah.
That's Marcus Alvarez from Sons of Anarchy.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, he's a good guy. And he told me the same thing, that he had a big stuttering problem.
Really?
But it wasn't until he started like acting or doing some kind of performance that it went away.
Really?
Shit, mine went away because my dad used to fuck my ass up. Talk right, cabron.
God, God damn it, man. You're fucking like he's just a reek of authenticity. Does it drive you crazy when you see comics, Mexican comics, come up and try to pretend they're something that they're not?
Yeah, but, you know, the audience noticed right away, though, man.
Really?
Yeah, because they're pronouncing the words wrong.
Yeah.
Like, I saw that one comedian from San Diego, and he's a funny guy, and he tried to do a joke about piñatas, but he pronounced it wrong. He didn't add that ñe to the end.
Yeah.
He said panadas. Yeah, man, I eat chili relanos. They noticed.
Did you start? What club did you start at?
I started off at a place called the Natural Fudge.
The Natural Fudge?
On, I forgot the name of the street it was, but it was like a vegan, vegetarian coffee house.
Yeah.
I met Brian Holtzman there.
Oh, yeah, Brian Holtzman.
And Freddie Soto, Jamie Kennedy, Alonzo Bowden, and some guy named Ruben Quintana.
Yeah.
There were and Cynthia, some girl named Cynthia Levine or something like that. Mm-hmm. She's from the Comedy Store. I met them there.
And then they told you about, they're like, you got to go do Dublins.
No, there were no Dublins around yet.
Oh,
you
yeah?
Know, there was nothing. I don't think, maybe if it was, but it was called
what
something else. I don't know. 96, early 96.
Okay, yeah. Okay, I was still in fucking college.
Yeah, Dublin was called something now, O'Brien's and Valdez. I don't know, but O'Brien, that's a comedian. O'Brien and Valdez, yeah. They're comedians.
Oh, yeah?
But it was called some kind of Mexican thing. But I didn't go to Hollywood yet.
Really?
I was just at the open mic.
And could you stand up in Spanish?
Yeah. No. I tried it on television last year, you know, for cash, and I did it.
And you did it?
Yeah, I wrote down all my jokes in English, and then I just translated them on Google. Like, translate to Spanish.
Hey, don't you speak Spanish, though?
I speak Spanish, but, you know, I don't know all the words. Like, there's some word, like Spanish that we speak here in California, New Mexico, Texas, Chicago, you know, Chicago Mexicans. West Nyack, Mexicans in New York, Florida, Waimama Mexicans. You know, I know all the Mexicans. They show up to my show. And we make up our own language that only exists in America. Like, I don't know. For a long time, I didn't know how you say park my car in Spanish. Because I would just say, parquealo. Right?
Yeah.
Then I found out that word doesn't even exist in the Spanish language. That's like Chiconics. That's a word that's made up here in America.
Chiconics.
It's a mixture of Mexican and Spanish and American English. Another one is brakes. Like brakes, I don't know how to say brakes in Spanish, but we say fix my brecas. But that's not a word in Spanish. It's
really?
I think it's called frenos.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that. But you start to say that during stand-up Spanish.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, oh, man, my brecas don't work. And they'll be like, what the hell are you talking about?
Shut up. So did you do it for, like, Telemundo?
I did it. I wish. They pay more money. I did it for the smallest Latino station in America. That you could do that show, man.
Really?
Yeah. It's called Estrella TV.
Estrella TV?
And, man, me and Joey Coco Diaz did that show.
Shut up.
Dude. We were there. It's like the funniest show. I'm telling you, man, you could do that show. All they do is put a earpiece for you, and they'll translate whatever the host is saying in English, and then you answer in English, and then the host answers back in Spanish, or if you understand what he's saying.
I can understand a little Spanish. But I grew up in Florida, so like playing baseball, you just had to learn Spanish. Everyone knew enough to like get by.
Tú sabes, papi, tú sabes.
Yeah.
Pega la pelota. Ponte trucha.
Pelota.
Ball.
Buenos ojos. Buenos ojos.
Buenos ojos. Buenos ojos. Good eye. Good eye.
Yeah. So wait. So you did the show with Joey?
I did the show with Joey. And the host is funny, man. He's like a Jay Leno, Letterman type of stand-up comedian, but the only thing that he dresses up like a clown. He has a suit on, big old shoes. He's called it Noches con Platanito. He has a big old red afro.
Yeah.
Full on clown makeup, doing stand up in Spanish. I mean, his Spanish jokes are fast. Like, he's coming at you 100 miles an hour in Spanish.
Really?
And I couldn't keep up. Joey couldn't keep up. And then Joey's trying to speak Spanish, but his Spanish is all Cuban and English. Papá, super tú sabes, papá. Papadito, tú sabes, patadito. And then he said, Joey Coco is saying, you understand what I'm saying, papadito? Yeah. And then the clown is saying, no, I don't know what you're saying. I don't know what you're saying. Please explain it to me in English or Spanish.
Yeah.
And everybody's laughing and we're just looking around. Why are they laughing?
Did you guys get high first?
Yeah.
When did you first smoke pot?
When I was like probably 20.
What?
Yeah.
How does everyone start so old? We were 14.
Probably because, I don't know why, because there was alcohol was available first.
Yeah?
Because there was alcohol over the house.
How old were you first time you got drunk?
Probably 15.
Yeah.
I saw a beer, man, and we drank it.
Really? Where was this at? Just your house?
It was at a wedding.
Yeah.
I think my cousin was getting married, and they had like this full-on band. And there was beer everywhere, and my brother said, I found a beer. My brother was a thief, man.
Yeah?
My brother Angel, he's a thief. He always say he found stuff, but he really stole it.
Yeah.
I found these two jackets, eh? Check it out, eh? I got you one, too.
How much younger is he?
Huh?
How much younger is he?
He's like, man, we're like Irish twins, bro. We're like 9 months apart.
Really? When you growing up, like, were there gangs around?
There was gangs. Like, where I grew up in my little area, there was like one, two, three, four, five gangs.
Really?
Yeah, some of the gangs were not really gangs. They were just a bunch of guys who hung out together with long hair.
Yeah.
And they were called stoners.
Yeah.
There'll be like 20 of them, you know, and they all have long hair.
Yeah.
And they're all just smoking pot and listening to the Doors and Led Zeppelin. And they play football against other long-haired guys.
Yeah.
They go to a bunch of concerts. They jump people, you know.
Really?
And they get all the chicks. But they're not gangbangers, but they will fuck you up, you know.
Yeah.
If you fuck with one of them.
Was there ever like a draw to get into a gang?
Yeah. I got jumped in.
What?
I got jumped into a gang.
Seriously?
Yeah, because I was hanging out with this gang for a while because... It was like in 1985 or 84, you know, breakdancing was around.
So what were you, how old were you?
I was like 17, 18.
How old are you right now?
46.
You're not 46?
Yeah.
God, you look so fucking young.
I know, man. Cam-A, man. Palmolive.
So wait, you're 15 and you're hanging out with these guys?
Yeah, I'm 15 and we're hanging out with these guys and they're, what are they? They're all breakdancers.
Yeah.
You know, they're breakdancing. They're really good breakdancers. But I can't breakdance, you know. But I still hang out with them.
Yeah.
You know, but I was like, I was in charge of shoplifting white gloves for they could wear them. You know, you need white gloves to pop lock.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then my other friend who couldn't breakdance either, he used to carry the cardboard box.
So you guys are like the production crew.
Man. We're a grip and security. So then breakdancing disappears and then crack replaces breakdancing. Then everybody's selling crack. Everyone, 14 years old, 13 year old kids. And I'm getting older. I stopped hanging around with them. I'm 18 now.
Yeah.
And then I'm like hanging around with them a lot. Like I'm selling crack with them, doing bad stuff. Then they jump somebody. You know, and then one day these guys are going around jumping people who are already in the gang.
Yeah.
It's like a discipline. It's called going to court. So they ask them, you know, hey, man, you haven't been hanging around for a while, man. What's up? You still in it to win it or something? And they go, nah, man, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then he gets jumped. You know, it's like getting jumped back in.
Yeah.
It's like getting reinstated again.
Yeah.
It's like paying your union dues for being in a gang, man.
Yeah.
You know, like getting some seniority because when you're in a gang, you got to hang out, man. You got to show some FaceTime around these people, you know.
Yeah.
Even if you don't ever do nothing or like shoot anybody, at least you were there when it happened.
Yeah.
That was me.
That was you?
I never shot anybody, man. I never jumped anybody. I just stood there and shit. When everybody was fucking chicks, I was just there watching, smoking all the weed, drinking all the beer, really smoking all the weed, you know, drinking all the beer, you know, 20 years old, drinking all the weed.
Yeah.
I was 20 years old. All these fools were now 15, 16 years old.
Really?
Yeah, hanging out. And they're like, one of my friends got shot up.
Really?
He got shot like we were coming out of this party. and I had just bought a Cadillac.
Yeah.
Had a 79 coupe, the real Cadillac.
Yeah.
Dude, it had a had one of those air shocks.
Yeah.
So I would go to the gas station and put the air thing in and then the bag would just rise, you know, like it's showing off his ass.
Yeah.
So I'm riding, you know, with my ass up in the air, you know, cruising and shit. And as I'm driving with six fools in my car because that's how we roll, you know, gangs, we carpool, man. We don't think about, you know, what's going to happen, you know.
Yeah.
I don't understand why gangs do that. Why you carpool, you know? Why so many people in a car? You know, fuck it. Let's all get caught in.
Yeah. You guys are just environmentalists.
Yes. We're just driving around. And that gas was expensive, man. It was a Cadillac 425 engine.
Yeah.
So we were driving around, and we're at this party by my old high school, Roosevelt High School, and this car passes by, and my friend throws a bottle at it. Then the car turns around, and he starts shooting at us, and my friend gets shot in the face.
Are you shitting me?
Like, he gets shot right in the fucking face, and everybody runs inside. Everybody's screaming, ah! Oh, shit. He got shot. Then we go outside and look at it. I look at him like, I'm looking right at him, and there's like this big old hole in his head, and the blood's coming out of the back of his head.
Was he dead?
And I touch his paws, and I looked around, and I say, man, he's dead, man. I think we all should just leave right now, because they're going to start asking questions. So I got back in my Cadillac, and I said, anybody want to come with me right now? Nobody. So I drove away, man. I took three girls with me and a guy. We went back to Aliso Village. That's the other side of the project. Right there, there's five gangs.
Yeah.
At this area, there was like a Crip gang and four Mexican gangs. And I went over there and I told everybody they shot this guy. He's fucking dead. He's done. And then we were getting phone calls that the cops came in and they took everybody out the house. And they arrested everybody that was there.
Really? Holy shit. And you're like 20 years old?
Yeah.
God damn it. And that guy just died. That guy just died.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was shot. He was dead, man.
Holy shit. You say, but it's so funny. Like, if that had happened to me, that would be like a life-defining moment. Like, I would talk about it once a fucking week. I'd be like, did I ever tell you the time I was there when the guy got shot? And I'd make it about me. I wouldn't. But you just say it very casually, like, yeah. He's fucking gone.
Yeah, man, he was gone. And it was crazy because I think the gang that shot him, his father grew up with that gang.
Really?
Yeah, but now it's like a third generation, you know.
Yeah.
And he gets killed.
Holy shit. So you're 20 years old. When did you start doing stand-up?
When I was 23, 24, I came out of rehab.
Really? You came out of rehab?
Yeah, because right after that happened, it must have... But that's not the first time like I saw someone get killed, or one of the first times someone got killed and I was like nearby, you know? I've seen people like, I saw someone get shot from far away before, but you know, it was crazy because I saw him get shot and maybe like I was enough, you know, just enough to hear the bullets and see the person fall and see the people run away.
Yeah.
It was that close. So it was like, it's like, when I speak to my friends about growing up there, the ones who are my age, it feels like speaking to people that were in Bosnia or something, or they're still shell shocked. Or we talk about, I ask my friend, do you ever have this dream, man, that you're running on the projects and someone's shooting at you, you know, and then you wake up and go, yeah, I have the same dream.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess I never dealt with what happened those days. I just moved on, you know, because I felt like it was a part of growing up. We're a part of life.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
So then you started smoking pot, but then you obviously went deeper?
Oh, yeah. When I went from pot, like the first month, and then the next month, I was like smoking PCP. We were at this birthday party for this kid, right? And his dad used to sell PCP. Yeah. The dad, we were at a birthday party for this guy. It's funny, this guy who... His birthday party, he was in a wheelchair, right? He got shot by somebody. Like, funny. That's funny. He got shot by somebody where I was at. You know, Aliso Village, that's the place where the one black gang and four Mexican gangs.
Yeah.
He got shot there in the back. So he's in a wheelchair now. So we're having a birthday party for his kid. He's turning five, I guess. and then they bring out this little bottle of PCP. I've always knew what that was because I just see people running around naked, you know?
Yeah.
One time my little league coach, I think, what's his name? Larry? What was his name? No, Larry Santos. Yeah. Larry the Saint.
Yeah.
Larry's a saint. It sounds funny when you translate it. He showed up. He was an assistant coach, bro.
Yeah.
You know, and we're about to play this game, baseball, against a real fucking little league game.
Yeah.
There's like maybe five parents there who care about their kids playing baseball and the rest of these neighborhood kids, you know, who love baseball, the coach, umpire, you know, whatever. And then like the head coach, he starts fucking freaking out, bro. Like, yeah, I'm free, man. I'm fucking free, Holmes. Fuck yeah, Holmes. Fuck yeah, Holmes. I'm fucking free, Holmes. And I'm like standing like, I'm like sitting next to him, you know, because I suck, you know. I'm not fucking starting. I'm in the back, and I'm with the losers, bro. The losers with no fucking gloves. It sucks when you don't fucking, people don't know, when you suck at baseball in a neighborhood like mine where nobody could afford a glove.
Yeah.
Some people don't have gloves. Some people don't show up with cleats.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm sitting there with a guy who has no cleats on because somebody who plays better than him has to start. He has no cleats. So the fool's sitting there fucking barefoot, dog. Fucking sucks dick. This guy sucks. I mean, when you play Little League in the neighborhood, man, times are bad, man.
Yeah.
You're sitting there with no t-shirt because the guy who plays better than you needs a t-shirt, so you got to wear your t-shirt.
Yeah.
So you're fucking sitting there naked sometimes with no glove, no cleats. All you have are your Cheetos.
Cheetos?
So this assistant coach is there. He's going, yeah, bro. Fucking homie. Fuck yeah. Fucking Steve Garvey, bro.
Fucking Steve Garvey,
start yelling out Dodger, old Dodger names. Ron Say, bro, the Penguin, you know?
Yeah.
He starts taking all his clothes off, all his clothes off. Like, he's butt naked, man, like Tarzan, like, butt naked. And he's running around the bases naked, bro, like, fuck yeah, man, fucking home run. Dick is jumping around, and I'm fucking, like, 12, you know, first time seeing a naked man.
Yeah. And he's on PCP?
Yeah, no cops show up.
Really?
Who, like, nobody called the cops, man. And they just put a blanket over him, and they hog-tied him, the homies, you know, and put him in a car and took him away, but that's it.
Really? And then cut to, you're at that kid's birthday party.
Yeah.
And then
So I'm at that one of the little guys that were in my little league team.
Yeah.
You know, he got shot in the back now. He's older. He had a kid. And that's the first time I tried PCP.
Really?
And it's funny, I tried PCP, man, and I went home, and I was just walking around all PCP out like I'm on, like if I was Spider-Man, man. I was crawling, you know?
Really?
Like just crawling.
Yeah.
And then the cops pulled me over.
Really?
The cops pulled me over, man, and they smelled PCP on me, and they're searching my pockets. You have anything on you? And all I had was candy from that piñata from that birthday party.
Yeah.
Because I think when I took the PCP at the piñata, at the birthday party, they brought the piñata.
Yeah.
And I got this fucking Hulk rage, I guess.
Yeah.
And I ran for all the candy, man. I was like the only adult. And I thought I was pushing kids away. And I think I got kicked out of that birthday party. What happened was.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm grabbing all this candy out of the piñata. And they were trying to break the piñata with a stick, and I just ran. I just jumped, and I grabbed the piñata, and I ran with it. And so I'm back in the neighborhood, and a cop tells me, man, you have more fucking candy than fucking weapons on you? I said, yeah, man, I'm a big fucking piñata, man. Like the cop shoved me, and candy came out of me. And I was laughing, man. I told you, bro, I'm a piñata.
Oh, that's fucking great. So then they take you to jail?
No, man. What I did was I lied. I lied because someone had got shot in my neighborhood. It's funny, another person I just got shot. I was watching Saturday Night Live, you know, thinking about being a comedian finally.
Yeah.
You know, I was watching Saturday Night Live. I was living there with my baby mama. I had two kids.
Really?
Yeah, I had two kids already, and now my son, my baby, my my son's mom's brother was living there too.
Yeah.
So when I heard like this loud ass, da 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 da, like fucking the most loudest gun I ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
And I went outside, and then this kid who was like just 14 years old, he was just a tiger kid. They just came from riding graffiti all over downtown LA.
Yeah.
He just walking by, bro. They just walking by, and these guys passed by. It was an AK-47, and they shoot up everybody, and he just happened to be there, and they shot that fool in the head. I went outside, and I walked over him, and I saw, and I said, fuck, I know this kid. And I looked at the wall, and the wall had, like, chips of cement where they missed.
Yeah.
And the bullet that came out of his head. And so I came, I said, fuck, eh? So I was looking around, and he was dead, and everybody ran. And everybody was running. You better leave, bro. You better leave. So I was the last one to leave. I shouldn't even came out of my fucking house.
Yeah.
What the fuck come out of there? Hey, man, shoot me too.
Yeah.
But I was like nosy, bro.
Yeah.
I guess I want to be a reporter, I guess. So I went out there, man. If I had a cell phone, man, I would have probably would have been a fucking sensation right now. Yeah. Bro, Nightcrawler and shit.
Yeah.
So I go back in my house and some motherfucker told the cops that I was there when it happened. Really? Some fucking rat.
Yeah.
I don't know who it was. Some piece of shit.
Yeah.
Because the next day, I'm like just, I had a long night already the next day because I was, you know, I was selling crack and doing my shit
yeah.
in my neighborhood where I grew up. I'm in a neighborhood, you know, where it's, right now it's neutral, you know, but I go in the other neighborhood, you know, because right here it belongs to another gang. They sell drugs there.
Yeah.
I'm not allowed to sell the drugs there. So I got to go walk a quarter of a mile, another mile away to
yeah.
sell drugs where it's safe for me. So somebody from that area must have told the cops that I was there when it happened, you know, to cover their ass. So the next day, man, my girlfriend goes, ex-girlfriend, she goes, hey, I'm fucking half asleep, naked. I'm asleep, man, in the bed. She goes, I think the cops are looking for you. He goes, really? He goes, what are they wearing? Suits. Fuck. Suits, bro.
Why? Why with suits?
And I said, oh, shit. So right there in my mind, I'm not even thinking about the guy who got shot. I'm thinking about shit that I thought I got away with.
Yeah.
You know, bad shit that nobody knows about. I'm not going to mention right here, you know? So,
yeah.
So I said, fuck this. And I live in a housing project. So we have a back door. Thank God. Yeah. So I came out of the back door and I ran out of the house with no shoes on, by the way. I just ran, man. And I could have stepped on nails. I wouldn't have felt it. I just ran and I ran to the other side of the housing projects. I passed the spot where he got killed and I kept going straight. And some of these housing projects where I grew up, they're three stories. And on the third story, you could go on top of the roof because they had like a clothes hanger
yeah.
for people to dry their clothes. So I just went up the roof and I fucking hid up there, man.
Really?
And so they didn't have enough time to go look for me. So that was that.
Yeah.
So the next day, long night again. Fuck, man. This time they come again, man. Man, when Ice-T wrote that song, he wasn't kidding, man. 6 a.m. police at my door.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And they'll
fresh
show
Anita squeak
early,
across the bathroom door.
So I come out of the out the next door. Same guy in a suit with an LAPD officer is knocking. I come out. I go try to go to the other side. Shit, they're waiting for me at the back door, man.
Yeah.
It was three LAPD officers with black and whites. They come into my house and I'm sitting there and they start looking all over the house. You know, no search warrant. Nobody told, hey, go ahead, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go find what you want. Don't take my Fruit Loops. No, you're under arrest. No fucking, you have the right to remain silent. People just come in like fucking Gestapo, bro. Like,
yeah.
Like they were looking for fucking Jews, bro, in Warsaw.
Yeah.
Motherfucker, I told you guys to get on that fucking train 2 days ago. What the fuck are you still doing here in this fucking ghetto? So that's what it felt like. So they fucking start looking for weapons. You know, I don't have no weapons, man. I'm a pussy, man. I'm just there for the, I'm just there for like fucking Al Green. I'm just here for the good times, you know?
Yeah.
And then they fucking put my handcuffs on me in the living room. I put on my slippers and I'm just wearing sweats. And these fools take me all the way to the police station to look at photos. That's it.
And you don't know what's going on.
I don't know what the fuck's going on, man. So you're thinking
of dirt in the past.
I'm thinking dirt from the past, man. So I'm staying quiet, man, because one thing I learned, man, is that you got to know your rights. And the only thing I know that one, you got to stay quiet, you know. See, this old man told me a long time ago, man, hey homie, it's not what you did, homie. It's what the fucking pinchy cops can fucking prove, eh? So don't give them no artillery, homie. So I would just stay quiet, man.
What pinche mean?
Pinche like fucking asshole.
Yeah?
Yeah, man. I don't know why that place in Hollywood is called Pinche Tacos. In Spanish, it's called fucking tacos. So I went through, they started showing me photos, right? Photos of people. But I told him, man, I didn't see anything. He goes, what were you doing around this time? I said, I was watching Saturday Night Live. You know, yeah. I even explained what episode it was.
Really? Because yeah. You were watching Saturday Night Live.
I was watching Saturday Night Live. It was on 11:45. And she didn't even went outside, though. So this piece of shit cop, if you know anything, give me this. He goes, if you know anything, call me.
Yeah.
And he gave me his card. So then when the fucking pussy-ass cop catches me all PCP'd out,
yeah.
I bring up that card and I put it on my forehead. I said, listen, man, you got any problem with me? Call this guy, all right?
Shut up! Are you fucking serious? Are you serious?
Yeah, man. We're working on something right now, man.
Shut the fuck up!
We're working on something, man. Yeah. It's very important, man, that I need to go home right now because we're going to meet somewhere, man, and we're trying to crack this case right now. And, you know, I'm lying to him.
Yeah.
I'm pretending that I'm like fucking like a CI or something.
Yeah.
Confidential, you know.
Informant, you know.
I give this fucking cop this spiel, bro. I'm fucking PCP out of my ass.
Yeah.
I'm at the point before I get Hulk powers where I could just slam this fool by myself.
Yeah.
Like in Charles Bronson, that movie. Death Wish 2.
Yeah.
Like that, man.
So right before that point.
So I give this fool the card. And he's just mad-dogging me, man. And he goes, all right, eh? And he just lets me go. I don't want to see you for the rest of the night.
Yeah.
And I fucking take off, eh?
Really? God damn it. That's fucking crazy. So then, is that the only time you ever did PCP?
I did PCP that time. And I did PCP one time I did PCP at the drive-in theater.
Really?
I was watching Terminator 2.
Yeah?
Which is probably the best movie ever, man. Ever.
Yeah.
I fucking love Terminator 2, 3, all of them, man. I just love it, man. I try to do a bit about it, but it never works, you know?
Yeah.
So I talk about it, man. How Terminator, man, you have to know, man. Terminator, think about it, man. People hate you now in the present, man. They hate you so much. But there's people that are not fucking born that hate you even more, man.
Yeah.
People that are not even born that don't know shit about you hate you more right now than the people that hate you now. They're gonna invent a time machine to go kill you before you're born. Now, if that would happen to me in real life, I would never believe that shit. Nah, man.
Yeah.
That fucking German dude's coming after me.
Yeah, fucking run the cop.
Oh, shit, he just fucking threw a cholo at me. Nah, man, he ain't after me. That's the homie Larry. He's on PCP, bro.
Larry the Saint.
Larry the Saint.
So wait, how did you end up going to rehab?
Oh, man, I got into this crazy fight with some guy who had just come out of prison, and this guy had just finished doing 10 years in prison. And he was like a bully. He was a big, big, strong dude, 5'6", now. 5'7", but you know, the smaller the motherfucker is, the crazier they want to act.
Yeah.
So they call me Batman. That's my name. That's my gang name, I guess.
Yeah.
They gave me Batman. What's up, Batman? Sometimes, man, I'm at fucking comedy shows, and I see people from my past that I try to not go no more.
Yeah.
They're at my show, and they yell out, "What's up, Batman? I'm glad you made it, big dog. I'm fucking proud of you, homie."
Really?
And I just got to stay quiet and not say shit like, that's how, I can't, If I get heckled by that, I get stunned. Like, do they have a gun?
Yeah.
You know, is there somebody that I ratted out? Nah. Is it a cop that I got in trouble? You know, is it a cop I ratted out? You know, something like that. Or is it a guy from my past that remembers me, that knows how I look without a beard and long hair?
Yeah.
Man, this long hair and a beard, bro, it's a fucking shield, bro. I'm not trying to look cute.
I remember when you were like clean cut.
When I started, I had no hair, man. I was bald.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that how you used to rock your hair back in the day?
It was bald. I had like buzz cut, you know,
really?
Like skinhead style hair.
Yeah. No, wait. So you got in the fight with the guy. How did you end up having to go to rehab?
Father Greg Boyle, who today is his birthday. What's today's date?
I don't know. How do I know Father Greg Boyle?
He's from the homeboy industry.
Homeboy Ben Preds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Father Greg Boyle, this guy, after what happened with him and I, you know, what happened to him.
Yeah.
He ended up going to the hospital because I was on PCP.
Well, you get in a fight with this guy.
Long story short, bully. Man, this motherfucker was strangling me to death.
Yeah.
All right. He was like, he already had busted my lip. He already, pretty much, man, in an open fight, like Mayweather, Pacquiao type of fight, I would have never had a chance with this guy. This guy just was too good. First, it was my fault. He busted my eye. He busted my lip.
But wait, where is this? Is this just on the
outside
street?
Outside in the street. This is right after I see Terminator, bro.
Really?
I smoke a big PCP cigarette, Kuz PCP.
Yeah.
Newport's menthol. The only cigarette you need for PCP is menthol. So I'm at the movie theater watching Terminator 2. This is when squeezy bottles had just came out. You were probably in Little League. Remember when squeegee bottles came out?
Squeegee bottles.
It was like a bottle. Remember those bottles to drink water?
Yeah.
That only boxers used with a long straw?
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Remember
when
they first came out?
Yeah, yeah.
And it was the biggest thing?
Yeah.
They had them at AM, PM.
Yeah.
Just those long 32-ounce drinks with a long straw?
Yeah.
Well, I had one of those with Long Island Mixer, the ones they sell at the liquor store.
Yeah.
So I put two little cans of Long Island iced tea in there with ice. And I add a little extra gin, you know?
Yeah.
And then I had my friend made Socko and gin, which is the ghetto drink, by the way.
Really?
It's Socko. It's like a ghetto drink, man.
Yeah.
If you ever go to the hood, anywhere, man, you're telling, man, you ever had Socko and gin?
Yeah.
And they look at you, man, shut up. You for reals. For real, man, you go to, man, you ever do your show, you go somewhere, you see an old black man in his 40s, 50s, in Inglewood, anywhere. Man, you ever had Socko and gin? Oh, man. And it's Socko and gin. It's just like this Gatorade drink, but it's a little boy playing soccer.
Yeah.
It's like Socko. It's like grape juice and orange juice. And you mix that with Seagram's gin.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Really?
And so I had one of those also in my little bottle. And I was smoking PCP, watching Terminator 2, getting pumped up. I call them Terminator boots, but I was wearing fucking construction black boots with steel toes, the jeans, the white t-shirt. If I had the money, I would have had the leather jacket just to be the Terminator, man.
Yeah. He loved this movie.
So I was dressed just like him, man. I was dressed like a... By the way, while these guys were dressed, they were dressed like gangsters. Like, they always looked like cholos.
Yeah.
I never dressed like that.
Yeah.
I was never dressed like a cholo. I never had like the white t-shirt.
The khakis.
My t-shirt was always dirty. I never had khakis that were creased. My shirt was always baggy.
Yeah.
I had longer hair. I had long hair. Not long hair, but it was like longer than everybody else's.
Yeah.
Cuz I was like into like now I was not I was like I grew up liking other stuff.
Yeah.
Cuz all my friends like heavy metal. So what were they talking about? I forgot.
So you're at the movie theater. You're at the drive-in. Yeah.
So I leave the movie theater and I see this guy who has been like messing around with people from my neighborhood, right?
Yeah.
Because my neighborhood is like it's like big neighborhood right now, and that neighborhood where I'm at, where he is from, it's small. You know, everybody's locked up. They haven't been recruiting enough like we have.
Yeah.
Like in our gang, we had 8-year-olds. We had 10-year-olds in our gang.
Really?
We had 14-year-olds. We had guys that were 23. We had guys that were locked up in prison. They were 25. And I'm 20.
Yeah.
And so this guy knows, you know, that I'm a popular guy in the neighborhood. Everybody likes me.
Yeah.
I'm cool with everybody. You know, I'm nice. Always been cool. But this guy starts pushing me, man. He really pushes me. Like, he shoved me. Fuck Batman. Like that. Like, fuck you, Batman. Like that. All right, whatever, man. Fuck you, Batman. So then, man, he pushes me. And he like shoves me hard with one fist. Then I swing at him, but I miss, of course. Because I'm PCP.
Yeah.
I miss, but the momentum of my elbow still fucked this fool up, man.
Really?
I missed, but I still got in the elbow in because I watched this movie with Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah.
Someone's an angel or angels of heaven.
Yeah, yeah.
Where he plays a boxer in the neighborhood, right?
Yeah, and his best friend's in a wheelchair.
Yeah. So he's teaching these kids how to box, and he goes, see, sometimes if you miss, you got to open the elbow at the end and extend it. You're going to still hit this guy. So when I was missing, I was falling down, and I still caught him with the elbow.
Really?
Yeah. But then he caught me with two in the face, busted my lip, fucked up my ribs. But then he asked me, man, on the fucking the jaws of death.
Yeah.
So then it's over, man. I don't know what to do, man. I have nothing left. I thought I was going to be gone, man. Nobody's helping me. I'm bleeding. So the fucking dude, fuck that, man. I fucking bit half the motherfucker's ear off, man.
Holy shit!
Boy, I don't know how I did it, dog, but let me tell you, man. I think teeth are hard, eh? Teeth are strong, man.
Yes, they are.
Fool. He was screaming, man. Then I just turned like Hulk Hogan, you know, like, you know how you get pumped up?
Yeah.
You know? Let me tell you, brother.
Yeah.
When the Hulkamania wild is going wild. I was on PCP, man. I felt like the energy, man, like Batman, Batman, Batman.
Really?
And then it was like everything went blank after that. I don't remember what happened after that, but I just know the next day around 7 in the morning, I was still walking around with blood all over my shirt.
Really?
Busted eye. Like, really, like a lot of blood all over my clothes. Like, if the police would have saw me, they would have to take me in for questioning.
Yeah. Like, clearly you committed some sort of crime.
Yeah, it was like.
And so then how did Father Boyles get
started? I looked like OJ before he got on the airplane and took off to Chicago, man, for that golf tournament.
Yeah. So how did Father Boyle step in?
So this fool in the hospital, obviously. Father Greg, people know that this fool wants me dead, you know. I brought tension now between the two gangs, I guess, whatever. No, so but this is all in my head.
Yeah.
By the way. Now everything's in my head, the tension. Okay, man, these two guys are not gonna get along. It's all my fault. I should have just let this guy go. I should have just shook his hand, whatever, right? All these thoughts.
Yeah.
You know, everything you could have done if you had not been young, dumb, you know, and trying to prove you're a tough guy. So this fool says he's going to kill me, man. He's fucking in the hospital, man. Fucking broken lip. He got fucked up, too. I don't know what happened to him, man. But whatever, man. So what happened was, after that happened, they said that I was calling out other guys that were with him. That kind of person he didn't like too. How about you, motherfucker?
Oh, after the fight, they said, because you just, as soon as you.
I was pumped up.
As soon as that, you just shut down. You don't remember any of that. Yeah, I've been there. I've never done that, but like, I've definitely gotten to the place where you're so fucking angry.
Yeah.
And you're so, like, that rage overwhelms you.
And they said, somebody said that there was some guy that was not even like, involved. He goes, "Dad, bro, I don't know what happened, but I guess you never liked that guy. You just took his belt out. You were whipping him, bro. You were chasing him with a belt."
Holy shit.
Yeah, so that shit happened. Like, wow, I didn't even know about that guy, chasing him with a belt.
Yeah.
I mean, how fucked up is this, man? You're just standing there going, fuck. And you don't know he's going to fuck. You're just looking around, and then you get whipped with a belt in the face.
Holy fuck.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, man, after everything they told me, I said, yeah, man, I would kill that motherfucker, too.
Yeah.
So I'm walking around scared as hell. And someone who likes me, I guess, you know, this is how bad it got, Felipe, man, you better take this. And he gave me a loaded 38.
Really?
It was like a 38 snub nose with hollow points. And he goes, "You better take this." And I was like, just some random guy who likes me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know this guy was even a killer or anything like that. He just said, "Man, you better just take this, man. I like you, man. You better just take this. And don't say where you got it from." So I had it for a while. So, man, so now I don't give a fuck. I'm walking around like a badass.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure, and like, people know now, you know, somehow, you know, if you, you know, watch out for me. You know, they know it's going to get crazy.
Yeah.
So Father Greg, my mom goes, I guess she wants to go plead with Father Greg Boyle, because that's the priest from my neighborhood.
Yeah.
Father Greg Boyle. So then Father Greg Boyle comes to my house. We start talking and, you know, and you better slow down. You know, you're crazy. You know, you have two kids somewhere. You're a father.
Yeah.
And he goes, they're going to kill you. And then, and I'm thinking to myself, because, you know, I don't really want to stop using drugs. I just want to live, you know?
Yeah.
But I still want to be crazy. I still want to, you know?
You still wanted to party. You just didn't.
Yeah, I still want to smoke crack, you know? By that time, man, when I had the gun, I was a crackhead too, man.
Really?
I was a fucking crackhead. Like, I don't know, man. If you were, if there was a fight between who can find more stuff on the carpet between me and the Dirt Devil, I would win.
Really?
I would fucking win.
Shut up.
Because I used to get so bad on crack, and I run out of crack. And I start looking on the floor, and whatever I see that's white, I think it's crack. And I start picking up my finger and tasting it. Okay, that's not crack. It's just cheese. That's how bad it is when you're on crack.
Really?
You know, when you have no crack, you start thinking that everything on the floor is crack. Styrofoam. You know, that's
Shut
how people start tweaking, you know.
Yeah.
And you start thinking you have crack in your pockets. And you start looking, and you feel like a tiny little ball. You gently open it, and you go, fuck, it's only lint. You know, you get so sad.
Yeah.
So depressing. So he comes to my house, and I was going through my depressing time where, fuck, hey. I was sad. I was crying, and I said, I really didn't want to. I thought that I could just go for one more, you know, one more.
Well, yeah, one more party.
My chick, my baby mama had just left me, you know. She was cheating on me for a year and a half with the same guy.
Really?
So that was heartbreaking, you know?
Yeah.
And when I found out that she was cheating on me, like, it's like, imagine, man, you have a girl with two kids, and then she's going out and fucking somebody else for a year and a half. But you're young, man. You know, you don't,
yeah.
You don't see that shit coming. And I'm glad she told me, like, in a place where there was a big crowd.
Really?
I swear to God, dude. When I found out, I'm glad, I thank God, if there is a God, that there was a big crowd
of
people there that knew me and knew her that would stop me from killing her or prevent me from doing something bad.
Yeah.
Because I was the worst thing I did was, because she used to wear glasses, I said, man, you fucking bitch. I just took her glasses off and I broke them and I gave them back to her.
Yeah.
Dude, this is how naive and lost I was, you know, in drugs, just at 20 years old, 21, 22 years old. How far I went down from that first joint. And I wouldn't say the joint, it was just my mind, you know, my mind. I have an addiction personality. I'm depressed, I guess. I'm holding out. I'm shell-shocked from the murders I've seen.
Yeah, you probably got all the PTSD. You got your chicks cheating on you. You get in this fucking fight with this guy. I look at my life and I go, like, listening to you and I go, why did I ever do drugs? Like, I could have, should have just gone and played tennis. Like, the fuck? Like, I really, like, so how do you go to rehab?
Dude, I found out later on at a party, dude, how crazy naive was. One time, the guy that she was fucking behind my back showed up to the house to pick them up, and she said that was her cousin's brother-in-law, or her cousin's. She thought that was my cousin.
Yeah.
So I believed that was her cousin. This is how stupid I was, right? Now, the only saving grace I have about that situation, and I say one of my bits when I remember,
yeah.
Hey, I might have put her stuff and my kid's stuff in his car,
yeah.
But at least when I thought about giving him gas money, I didn't.
I got cheated on. I dated a girl for 5 years, and I went to Europe, went to Russia, and she fucked my best friend.
Fuck.
Yeah, and gave me the clap.
Damn.
And I came back, I got the clap, and I was like, what the fuck? And I'd only slept with like two chicks my whole life. And I was like 22, and I was crushed, man. I was really crushed. I was really genuinely, like, it changed. But it's the best thing that ever happened to me, because had that not happened, I would have never gotten into comedy. So, like, I look at that, and I go, I learned a lot. It fucked me up with women for a long time, but...
What's the clap?
When you piss is when it burns when you piss.
Never had that then. How about when you have a lot of bumps on your penis and it itches? I'm sorry, man. I'm talking to you like your first date. It burns.
Yeah, it burns.
All right. No, I never had the clap. And I had a lot of sex when I was selling crack.
Yeah.
With crackhead whores without condoms.
Really?
A lot, man.
Did you ever get worried you're going to get AIDS?
No, man. We didn't. When you're young, man, you don't care about stuff like that, man. Yeah. It's fair. You don't want nobody to know.
Yeah. God damn. So wait. So you're doing crack, PCP, weed, probably drinking, and you have to go to rehab. Anything else?
So, man, so I'm all bummed out about being hurt. I don't give a fuck no more. I'm smoking more crack. My brother just got shot, you know.
Really?
My brother got shot up, you know, by the police. One of his friends died, so I popped two acid tabs the same night just to get old, not to think about it.
Just to disappear.
Disappear. And yeah. Me and my friend would disappear, man. But then when we it's all fucked up. It felt for the whole neighborhood. It felt like 9/11 in my neighborhood. My brother got shot.
Really?
My brother was a very popular guy, and three guys got shot, and it was bad. So I started smoking crack. You know, I think when my brother got shot, that was the first time I did crack and LSD.
Wow, what's that like? What's crack and LSD like?
I don't know.
Together,
man. You see more crack on the floor than not there.
Yeah.
So I'm heavily into crack, and one night I just got pissed off, and I saw my baby mama, and I took all her gold jewelry that I had given her the year. You know, we like a lot of gold jewelry when you're selling crack. You know,
yeah,
a lot of turquoise rings.
Yeah.
So I took her jewelry away. I took her necklace. I took her I took that money the money I had given her, you know, for whatever she needed, $250.
Yeah.
I took that away from her, and I just disappeared on a crack binge for about I don't know how long. And then when I came back out of it, that's when Father Greg told me that I needed help. And I gave him whatever weapons I had, whatever paraphernalia drugs I've had.
Yeah.
I just put them all in a bag, and I gave it to him. Didn't look back, and I went into rehab. And I entered rehab with a busted eye, busted nose, busted face from that fight.
Yeah.
And I was in rehab for about a year and a half.
Year and a half?
I was there for 6 months, and then I graduated. Then I went back into the neighborhood, and I saw the same guy, bro, that sent to the hospital.
Yeah.
And he wanted revenge, bro. I was sober 3 months for the first time in my life, right? And I had a Bible in my hand. My head was completely bald. I looked like a guy who just came out of prison and became a Christian.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it took all my might not to go outside and beat this guy again, which would have been a big mistake now, because I would have got jumped by all his homies this time, because there was tension now in the neighborhood, and they would have had his back this time.
Yeah.
So he walked up to me in front of my mom and my dad, and pushed me and grabbed my Bible I had and threw it far.
Really?
And I went to go pick up the Bible, and I put it back in my hand, and I just straightened myself out, and I went inside the house gently, quietly, and I went upstairs, and I took my shirt off, and I grabbed a big-ass fucking bat, and I was about to run upstairs, and my whole family and my held me back.
Really?
And I was crying. I said, you guys are all pussies. Dude, I think we're weak now. You got fucked up. And I said, and then me and my dad got into this crazy fight. And then, like, he fucking busted my eye.
Really?
And I went back to rehab the next day. And I stood there for another 6 months.
Yeah.
And then I met some Catholic fool named Tim. He was from San Fernando, this Irish guy, real nice guy from Boston.
Yeah.
One of those guys, man, that just wants to love everybody.
Yeah.
Real cool dude. He comes from a family of drinkers, bro. You know, his father used to beat up his mom, you know, fucking 8 brothers.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah.
Irish motherfuckers fighting all the time.
Yeah.
So he told me, man, to write down three things that I wanted to do in my life. And I said, go to Italy, live happy, go to Italy, and be a comedian.
Shut up.
Yeah. So I've never been to Italy, but I like pizza.
You've never been to Italy?
No. But I like pizza. And and I'm happy. And I'm a comedian, yeah.
Shut up. And so you put down those goals, and then you just accomplish them.
Yeah, without even thinking about it.
If you could do a show on Travel Channel, what show would you want to do?
I don't know, man. Felipe travels to the hood.
You want to do an episode of Bert the Conqueror?
Yeah.
With me? We're doing one out in L.A. Ride a coaster, or maybe bring your kids out or whatever. And do like
we'll pick some mariachis in Boyle Heights, bro, to play background music for us.
Yeah. I'll tell my producers about it. They'll fucking love that.
Yeah, it costs $300 to rent these mariachis for about an hour.
Yeah.
And they'll just sing background music for wherever we go.
So wait, so you started doing stand-up when you were like 23, 24?
23, yeah. 23? 96.
Okay.
Late 95, early 96.
And then how long, like I would say probably, would you say that like meeting Gabriel was a big change in your career?
No, in 96 when I was actually meeting Gene Pompa.
He is one of the fucking greatest guys in the world.
Yeah. Hey, little bear.
I love him.
I met Gene Pompa. I met this crazy ass comedian named Willie Barsena.
Yeah.
That guy's crazy, man.
I know. How do I know Willie Barsena? I know Willie Barsena.
He is my Jay Moore. If you want to just put it out in a way that you and I can understand it, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
I used to drive this guy around, bro. Everywhere, bro. A young comic, bro. Drive him around. He would be drunk. I would pick him up, man. I was what? If you ever know what Chief Daryl Gates is?
Yeah.
I was what Chief Daryl Gates was to Chief Parker.
Okay.
Chief Parker was a big-time alcoholic.
Yeah.
And all he did was drive him around. And that's what I did.
Okay.
Drive comedians around.
Willie Barsena, how do I know that guy?
He did 11 Tonight shows.
Really?
Yeah.
So wait, so you meet Willie and then you start getting some stage time?
No, I met him and I met Gene Pompa because Gene Pompa was doing this he was protesting against NBC. Gene Pompa.
Gene is so fucking funny.
Yeah, he was.
Gene, did you know where Gene grew up? Like he grew up kind of rough. Like he has a great, one of my favorite Gene Pompa stories is his dad calls him up and he says he calls him up one night and he's with his brothers and he goes, "You're not a fucking man." And Gene's like, whatever. And he's like, "If you're a fucking man, you'll come over and fight us." And Gene's like, "All right." So he drives over to his dad, brother's, his cousin, uncle's house, and his dad's sitting out there with a knife, and he tried to stab him. And Gene's just like, it was so funny. But he's like, they were too drunk to stab me. They couldn't even stab me, right? Gene Pompa is one of my favorite. I got to get him on the podcast. I love Gene. So he's protesting NBC?
Yeah, that's how I met him. He had this, because Jay Leno had just got hired for the Tonight Show, and he had him put up, according to Gene Pompa, he had put up no people of Latin descent or African Americans on the Tonight Show, I guess.
Yeah.
So Gene Pompa had a bunch of comedians, black comedians, Latino comedians, and some Jewish comics who got our backs. And they all protested an NBC lot.
Really?
Like he had like 15, 25 people. Johnny Sanchez, myself, W. Gutierrez, Rudy Moreno, Willie Barsena, a bunch of other Latino comics that I can't remember. Gene Pompa, his wife, maybe Warren Hutchinson, I think. I think I met him there.
Really?
And a lot of comics, Sully McCullough maybe.
Yeah.
And some other comic who's an actor now. And he had everybody wear masks. So we're all wearing masks. Like we were wearing like Groucho Marx masks with cigars.
Yeah.
We're comedians.
Yeah.
Because he wanted to look like it's a, we had signs too, NBC, no blacks, no Chicano signs.
Yeah.
No whatever. He has signs, bro.
Yeah.
He even had the I don't know what console it is that protects a protest like that for rights, human rights. The Human League or Human League, that's a band. ACLU, just known by abbreviations.
Yeah.
So there was an actual guy there, a politician guy there who had our back. And I think Jay Leno had told Gene Pompa, "Hey, man, you better calm down with that protest or something." You know, if that's word on the streets. I think he's banned from NBC for that. So that's why I met Gene Pompa. And then Gene Pompa told this woman named Pat Buckles.
I know Pat Buckles.
Who was the manager of the Improv.
Yeah, she used to work for Comedy Central too.
Yeah, she was a talent coordinator of some new show coming out, the Latino Laugh Festival.
Yeah.
1996, live from San Antonio. And I auditioned for that because Jim Pompa recommended me to her, and she loved me.
Yeah.
She was, before I met her, I didn't know what a set list was. Pat Buckles was the first woman, first ever person to tell me what a set list was.
Really?
I never had a set list, and I still have it. She wrote it down in one of those Laugh Factory cards where you talk, when you talk about how good the comedian was.
Yeah.
And she just put my set list, recycling, Mexican, whatever. She wrote it down.
Really?
That was my 7-minute set. So I kept practicing a seven-minute set. And I auditioned. And a lot of the comedians that I auditioned with, who I grew up with, I've been doing comedy a year and a half. But I've always been a good student. So you tell me to focus on something that's going to help me, I would do it. So yeah. Even though I didn't graduate from high school, I still know how to study.
Yeah.
So I went over the 7 minutes back and forth. I memorized it. And I auditioned. I got in. They weren't sure enough for me. Who is this guy? So then Pat Buckles fought for me again. And then they had this big audition, open audition for everybody to show up. So I showed up. I stood in line for like 6 hours with a bunch of comedians. And I got in. And I got the show. And it was in 1996. I was in a Showtime. I met Paul Rodriguez for the first time. I met comedians that I grew up watching on even at the Improv. I met John Mendoza.
Yeah.
I met Greg Giraldo. His show had just got turned off.
Yeah.
Boston Common.
Yeah, the one he had with where he was the teacher.
Yeah, that show. His show was about to be hot.
Or Lawyer, I'm sorry, Lawyer, yeah.
His show just got canceled, I think. I met him. I met Cheech. Yeah, so I met a lot of great comics, you know, Freddie Soto. Brian Holtzman.
Freddie Soto is the one person I always wish I had met. Everyone always has amazing Freddie Soto stories. Al Madrigal always tells me how great Freddie Soto was.
So I met him, man. That's funny. We used to call Freddie Soto behind his back the Rock and Roll Pig.
The Rock and Roll Pig? Why?
Because he used to wear the leather jacket all the time, and he was chubby. He kind of looked like, you know, Will Parisi?
No.
You know how Italians look with a fucking, how Italians... Elvis impersonators always look. They're like kind of Goombas, but they're like Elvis Presley.
Yeah, looking. Yeah, yeah.
So he looked like that when he was chubby.
The and Rock and Roll Pig.
Rodrigo Torres, who's like my co-host on my What's Up Fool podcast, he called, hey, what's up with a Rock and Roll Pig? And one time when we were fucking drunk. I said, hey, bro, that guy calls you Rock and Roll Pig. He goes, oh, that's cool, brother. That's cool, man. That's fucking funny. And then when Al Madrigal at the wake, he said that fucking Alfredo Soto had a nickname for everybody. I was going to yell out, we had a nickname for him too, man, Rock and Roll Pig.
Is there a difference between when you came in, did you feel like you were, like I'll put it like this with like black comics. Like you get guys that are like black comics that are, you know, that are black and do stand up. And then you get guys that grew up very different. Like, I've heard this dude, like, and they have real life experiences, which is the black experience. And you're like, oh, that's what I want to hear fucking more of. Like, there's a difference. I'm not saying I'm not shitting on either of these guys, but there's a difference between Dave Chappelle and Mike Epps.
Yeah.
Like, Dave Chappelle grew up, you know, he definitely is black and he's had the struggle and everything. But, like, Mike Epps, I think, from, you know, partying with Mike Epps in New York, like, he had some fucking real, like.
I know.
You know?
You believe it, huh?
Like, you believe it. You go. Like, when he talks about something, you go, fuck yeah. There's this dude, Ali Sadiq, that I've heard. Have you ever heard of him?
Ali Sadiq. He works with Bill Bellamy, you know?
I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know. I just saw him at on Ari's Storyteller's thing. And his fuck, he told a story about going to prison. And it was like, you were like, okay, this is a real story. Like, dude, this guy isn't making it up. Like, this, his experience is authentic. Like, you feel like you got that. But I feel like you also sought out people like that to work with.
Yeah. Like, I would feel like I Dave Chappelle, but then I saw this one black comedian, because I used to have a Def Jam tape,
yeah,
and I used to always watch it, right? It was the best of Def Jam, and I used to bring girls over for sex after comedy shows, and you say, you want to watch something funny? And I would, one of your tapes? No, something really funny.
Yeah.
And I let him play, and my favorite comedian was Corey Holcomb.
Corey Holcomb's a real motherfucker.
Fuck yeah, man.
He's a real motherfucker. Yeah. You ever follow his Twitter feed?
Yeah.
Dude, he is a real motherfucker.
Like, his opening line, man, was like, man, you're a foot, yacht man. You ever fucked a chick with, you ever fucked a fat chick with normal skinny legs?
He's Dan Godfrey used to tell me how funny he is. And I was always like, I never, like, it was because of the last, like, cause you, I'm sure you know, but like the last comic standing, like, it's good and it's bad. It gets you out there, but then a bunch of comics kind of go, oh, he's just did last comic standing. And like, and part of me was like, that was the deal with like Corey. I was like, they never showed who Corey was on Last Comic Standing.
No.
He just was the Last Comic Standing comic who had to do like pretty watered down material so he could be in the show. And so that's what I saw. And Dan Godfrey's like, you do not know who you're talking about. He's fucking hilarious. He's like, he's my favorite comic. And I was, and then finally one day I was like, all right, fuck it. I got to watch some of his shit. Watch some of his shit. I'm like, holy shit, this guy is real as fuck. Like, and then I followed him on Twitter and I was fucking blown away. He's a legit dude. Like, he's a real, he just lived a real life. You know, there's a difference. I'm not, by the way, shitting on Chappelle, but like, Dimitri Martin is very funny.
Yeah.
And he lived a life, but you don't really get to know anything about that. Tosh has lived a very interesting life, but you don't get to know anything about that through his stand up, you know? And then when you see guys that have lived fucking real, like, real lives, you're like, motherfucker.
Yeah. When I see, like, the great comics, the ones you mentioned, those guys, I always feel like, there's still more of this motherfucker he hasn't unleashed.
Yeah.
I want to see the evil side of this guy.
Yeah. That's fucking great.
I want to see the evil side of Dimitri Marchi. I want to see what really fucks with him.
I want to see. I want him to
draw some fucked up picture of somebody he don't like.
Yeah. I want to see.
A 10-minute bit.
I want Tosh to fucking talk about his life. Because, you know, Tosh's life is fucking fascinating.
I want to see Dan Cook unleash about his fucking brother, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what it is. You're watching something that's a little, like, I think sometimes I feel controlled, you know? And you go, I want to see it untap. I want to see it unravel.
Yeah, like, so I got through that thing, man. I got through that show and...
Yeah.
96.
And then you just started, like, working in the clubs, or did you start working the road?
No, man. The guy who did that show was Jeff Valdez. He was from Colorado. That guy, he was the one that did that show. He was the producer, the guy with the money.
Yeah.
So every year from that point on, he kept doing a show, and I kept being on it.
Yeah.
So every year I had, like, an after gig. That show was after, you know, so that was a union show, so I got money. Every time I aired on show, every time I got money.
Yeah.
So he did 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Every year, for 6 years, he did episodes. So I got a TV credit for the next 6 years.
Oh, that's great.
On Showtime or any other channel he was on. And then I got on this other Latin show called Que Locos.
Yeah.
Which was like the big hit on Telemundo.
Did they do that? Did they do that at the Ice House?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember when Que Locos was happening.
Dami Rivera did it.
Yeah. Shut up. So then you do all that. And then
we go on tour.
You went on tour for Que Locos?
I met Gabriel when we were on Que Locos.
Really?
Yeah.
I saw Gabriel the first time I saw him was at Premium Blend. He was doing warm-up.
Yeah?
Premium Blend. Yeah, but I think he was doing warm-up, and he was shooting a half hour. I think he was warming up for his half hour. And so I went up to him, and I'm doing Premium Blend. I'm assuming he's just crowd warm-up. And I just went up. I was like, dude, you're really funny. You got to stick with this. And he was like, very nice. He was like, thank you. He just is like, yeah. He's pretty funny.
He was cool. I went with him when he did his half-hour special, his first half-hour special.
Yeah.
It was in New York. It was cool, man. I was drinking at the time. I got fucked up the whole week. But it was funny. He gave me a guest spot on his half-hour special.
Really?
So before he went up on stage and did his half-hour, I did like a 7-minute set before the warm-up act. I forgot his name, but a very funny guy.
Yeah.
Ron Sheridan. I don't know his name. But he's a New York comic, funny guy. So, yeah, man. So the warm-up said, Felipe, I'm going to give you 5 minutes. I'm going to give you 6 minutes. All right.
Yeah.
So the warm-up goes, oh, very funny guy. Give it up for Felipe Esparza. So I go up there. I do my set. It's like 7 minutes. Killer. 7 minutes, you know. Can't fail with 7 minutes.
Yeah.
Big old audience, sold-out crowd. So then it gets quiet. And then Gary Iglesias does his half-hour special and kills it. And it was my friend Felipe, and they already knew my voice because we had it planned out.
Oh, shit. That's so fucking interesting. So when he'd say, my friend Felipe, you already had been on stage.
Yeah, the audience already knew who I was because they had saw me.
And you had killed.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up. Yeah. So that's amazing. And then
smoking mirrors, Rasa.
And then you just start working with him?
Started working all the time with him. He went on to work a lot. You know, he got a lot of shows. He started selling out right away, and I was working for him every week.
Yeah? That's got to be great.
Yeah, man.
And at the time, you had two kids?
Yeah, I had two kids. No,
how many do you have now?
I had three already. Three.
You got three?
Yeah.
And your oldest is how old?
He was born in 87. I don't know. He's old, man. We lost track of time. Yeah.
Do you still talk to him?
No.
Oh, where is he?
I haven't seen them. I didn't get to meet my kids after the mom left with the guy. You know, yeah. I went to rehab. I stood there for a year, so a year passed, and then their life continued. They moved on, had lives, and it was very sad. I never saw them again. And 2 years later, they're having a baptism. You know, they're having a baptism, and Father Greg Boyle goes, "Hey, man, they're baptizing your daughter. I'm baptizing your daughter at 1 o'clock on Saturday. I think you just stop by and say hello." And I'm thinking, stop by and say hello. I'm going to go there and fuck up that baptism. I'm going to fuck somebody up. I'm going to fucking choke this guy in a fucking holy water.
Say hello.
Say hello. My ass. I'm going to walk in like fucking Scarface. Say hello to the bad guy. Hello. The real dad's here, motherfucker. I was just in rehab, getting better.
So did you go?
I went.
Yeah.
And it was sad, man. It was so sad because my kids didn't recognize me no more.
Really?
Like, my son passed by me. He didn't know who I was.
Really?
It was so sad. It was so depressing, man.
So then, so you haven't kept in touch with those two
and,
kids?
And
they didn't, like, even when you got, like, because you kind of are, like, fucking probably one of the top, arguably one of the top working comics right now.
Thank you.
Easily one of the more recognizable ones.
Thank you.
Like, and you're one of the more interesting ones. You're the coolest guy to come to a city after, because they got great stories about you.
We're so fool to tell you, huh?
Yeah, and they're like, and it's always the cool people that work there that like you. Like, I remember I was in, I want to say I was in Cincinnati, right after you were in Cincinnati, and they were I talked about this before, but I'm not going to say names. They were bragging. The management was bragging about this one comic that sold out every show. And then, and they were like doing it in front of me. And it was like making me feel bad. And I was like, and they were just like, and I didn't have like great numbers. I was like, whatever. And then they left. And the fucking kitchen guy was like, "No, man, fuck that." He's like, "You're like Felipe." And I went, "What?" And he goes, "Yeah, you guys are fucking real. You guys are funny." He goes, "That fucking guy." And then I'm not going to take the guy's joke. I'll tell you it is off air. But he's like, he started making fun of that guy's act. He goes, "It's bullshit. It's all fucking impressions." And he just did this. He destroyed this guy. And he goes, "No one wants to see that shit." He goes, "And those guys," and this is a guy who works in the kitchen. He goes, "Those guys won't be back next year to watch him. He better have something else. He better get on another show."
That was a funny bone, huh?
Yeah, funny bone in Cincinnati, right on the river.
Good times.
I want to say you had come in and done a Tuesday night.
Yeah.
And I had been, or Wednesday night, and I was there Thursday. And the guy had been there the week before.
Yeah.
And so, but I was like, fuck. And then, like, then I got in trouble for fucking up the condo. And then they compare me to you again. They go, "The only person that's fucked this condo up worse is Felipe."
Yeah, I fucked up a condo in Houston and San Antonio. Yeah, man. I thought I was going to get a bonus.
So wait, what? So then, when you started, I guess you had to like leave Gabe to do Last Comic Standing and kind of tour on your own. That's got to be hard.
What happened was I started getting more fucked up, you know, more fucked up. Right after, I saw my kids again. My daughter called me out of nowhere, out of the blue.
Yeah.
Right. And she's, "Hey, this is such and such. I'm your daughter." Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. So then we started talking and I got to know her, you know, for a little while, briefly in 2000 something. We had a little relationship, but then like, we stopped talking and I started turning into a diva during Gabriel Iglesias shows, you know.
Really?
He was a nice guy, you know, he took care of me, you know, he paid me well. But, you know, like, after a while, man, you start asking yourself, you know, man, am I going to, do I, because he's going to, you know, you want more money, you know, because you feel like you're more, you're funnier than the rest of the guys.
Yeah.
You know, it shouldn't be like welfare where everybody gets the same, you know?
Yeah.
It should be like, okay, this guy sucks. He deserves $500 less than you. This guy other sucks. He deserves $200 less than that guy.
Yeah.
And so on. So it should be like a level, you know? So I started asking for more money. I asked for, like, can I just have $25 more?
Yeah.
$5 more.
Yeah.
You know? So I started complaining, you know, bitching, you know? Like, we would do shows in Cleveland, improv, and the shows would be packed as fuck. And he'll tell me to do 30 minutes. I said, all right.
Yeah.
Do 30 minutes. Killer 30 minutes. They're liking me. And then he goes up on stage, does whatever, you know, more of me.
Yeah.
You know, my friend Felipe. And then we'll go to places where the crowd was predominantly 100% Latino, you know, yeah, like San Jose, Dallas, you know, whatever. Oh, you're only going to do 6 minutes. You only do 10 minutes.
Really?
10 minutes. But I was doing fucking 30 minutes of killing in front of all these fucking rednecks and shit.
Yeah.
You fucking good at maybe 6 minutes to, right here. So fuck that, dude. I would go over.
Yeah.
You know, started doing, being an asshole. Then finally, you know, we got into a fallout.
Yeah.
And I said, fuck that, fuck this. They gave me my best friend, who works with Gabriel, personal assistant. He gave me like a severance pay to leave, so I just walked away, and that was that.
Really? Do you talk to Gabe at all?
No.
Really?
We talking to each other, but no, we're not like buddies. You know,
yeah,
we're not like. I'm sure he doesn't wish death on me, and yeah, I don't wish death on him. You know, we were just like the Beatles. We were just growing out of each other.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to go this way. You know, and leaving was the best thing that ever happened to me.
Oh,
after
yeah,
that, I struggled for the fourth 4 years, but I found myself, you know.
Yeah.
I started being more of an honest comedian on stage.
Yeah.
You know, he went on, and he got more success. Everything worked out for everybody.
Yeah, it did.
And he gave me the best advice ever after winning Last Comic Standing. He said, you know what? Just disappear out of Dodge when you're in town. He goes, don't go to your normal places you used to go to. Because, you know, you might start getting more fucked up over there. What do you mean?
Well, like, what was it when you're in LA?
He told me that not to do shows, little shows in LA where people are going to use my name to sell tickets. You know, like.
Yeah.
Like, there's Latino shows all over LA. Latino shows at the Ice House. The guy who does a Latino show at the Ice House every Wednesday, you know. Hey, man, can you do my show?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll do my show, but you can't promote me.
Yeah.
But if you promote me, I want half of the door. Well, I can't do that. Well, don't promote me.
Yeah.
So they want to promote me and sell out all the tickets and promote Gabriel and sell out all the tickets and not give us a dime. And this guy only pays $30.
Yeah.
Right? Fuck that. I'm sorry, man. I grew as a comedian. You didn't grow as a fucking promoter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Just because I fucking moved up as a comedian, you should have moved up with me.
Yeah.
You should start raising the prices. You should start getting off Twitter. Do something, you know? I'm moving up. I have a social network. Where's your social network?
That's crazy. So, after Last Comic Standing, was it just night and day?
Night and day, man.
Now, what about partying this whole time? Because you go to rehab. When was the first time you drank again after rehab?
Ooh, fuck, man. I would say, shit. I started smoking weed again in 2001.
2001.
So I was sober 11, 12 years.
Yeah.
Sober, bam. Sober.
Yeah.
Nothing. Nothing, you know. And then one night, I forgot what night it was, I just went one day to Vaughn's. And I bought a bunch of white Russian mixers.
Yeah.
I was watching Big Lebowski. And I said, fuck, I never had a white Russian. I turned into the dude for the next 3 years, bro.
Really? Oh, that's the greatest.
So same scene. Bro. I'll be at Ralph's in Silver Lake.
Yeah.
It went with my fucking sweats and mixed match sandals, buying fucking Lowenbrow, bro. I could afford a 12 pack to go do more drugs in my friend's house.
And were you just smoking pot or?
Now we're doing I was smoking. I went back to smoking crack.
Really?
Hardcore, the right way.
Yeah. and then what did you have? Did you get off it or like what happened?
I was smoking crack after every show I did.
Really?
Yeah. Like if I made $100, I would go straight to the dope man. But I felt like, you know, I don't know if you feel this as a drug addict, like when you want to do drugs, when you get the urge to do drugs, you think about that time when you wasted a bunch of coke doing it the wrong way or you fucking didn't do, you didn't drink the right amount of alcohol. I don't know if you do coke, but when you think back of the cocaine you could have done, I remember I was smoking crack the wrong way. I should have used fucking copper wire, not the regular wire. I should have used a glass pipe, not aluminum foil. You know?
Yeah.
I should have got me a wire to fucking scrape the crack out of the pipe because there was extra crack in there. So I didn't know those things the first time I smoked crack. But then I started smoking crack with professionals, bro. Fools that knew what's up.
Really? And so then, how long did you do that for?
I would say off and on 2 years, 2.5 strong years, man. Yeah. I did crack when I was in Montreal. At the Montreal Comedy Festival.
Really?
In 2004 or 5.
Holy shit. What? That's fucking... And did anyone know?
No.
No one knew.
It was crazy, dude. Like, I got really drunk at this party. I was in a hotel room getting fucked up with Jasper Redd, name dropping. There's a comedian that was there.
Yeah.
There were young comedians of that time, 2005. Natasha Leggero, Jasper Redd, this other fool I forgot that opens up for Louis C.K., this Jewish comedian.
Louis Katz. Yeah.
And we're getting fucked up right there, man. And I remember I threw up, and Natasha gave me a bucket to throw up on.
Yeah.
I threw up a lot. Then I disappeared from that party. And I knew, man, like, it's funny when I go for walks, and I say, okay, that house has crack. If something happens, I'll be there tomorrow. So I went back to that house. Where I knew they sold crack for some reason. When I was sober, I knocked and I bought like some $60 worth of crack. And I went to go smoke it on the side with somebody who didn't have crack. I said, you have a piece, homie? And he goes, this fucking dude said in a Canadian accent, yeah, I have a piece. So him and I went to the alley and...
Are you serious?
We smoked my crack on his pipe and I went back. I stood there till fucking 7 in the morning.
Really?
And then I had a showcase, the young comedian showcase. Like in what, 8 hours?
Shut the fuck up. So what did you, stay up?
Yeah.
Really?
I stayed up, man, and I just, the crack kept me up, and I took a nice little cat nap, cleaned up my face, had a killer old young comedian set, got a little write-up.
Yeah? Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
God.
And the next day, went back to look for my homie. Yeah. But this time, I had to buy it from him, because he had some now, and it was more expensive, but yeah.
Really?
The last night of the Montreal Comedy Festival, we had this big party, man. And there were these Canadians, fool. They were rolling up lines at that club. So you know me, man. I went over there like Bumpy Wills. I was like a little slut. Hold my hair.
Yeah.
And this guy rolled up a line, and then he lit a cigarette, and he rolled up the cigarette on the cocaine.
Yeah.
And I was like sitting in the back going, what a waste. What a waste. You know, I was like getting upset, you know, not my cocaine, but I was going, what the fucking
what
waste.
What a waste.
We're going to smoke this Cocoa Puff and that's it? So I stood with them. I didn't even know these guys, okay? They were Spanish and Canadian, I guess, and French.
Yeah.
I didn't even know these guys, these girls. You know, but there was another comedian that I knew that was there who did coke. And I said, come over here, bro. These over here are wasting it over here. So him and I, we did a couple of bumps with these strangers at the bar. Then it got, morning came, and I ended up going to their loft. I didn't even know them.
Yeah.
I didn't say one word with them, just nodding. Uh-huh, yeah. One more.
Yeah.
One more, I'll take. I bought beer, you know, and then I just did bumps with them, and I went back to my room.
Yeah.
And the next, when I landed from the hotel to the, I went back to the crack house and ruined my, then disappeared and stood away for 6 days.
Seriously? Holy shit.
My phone was ringing off the hook. Pat Buckles going crazy. Felipe not returning my phone calls. I had an audition for Nacho Libre.
Really?
Audition for Nacho Libre for one of the priests.
Yeah.
And I remember I went there to audition, and I never forget how the guy read the part. And I said, fuck, I should have read it like that. I had diarrhea at the time. Like, the part was, I haven't taken a shit since Easter.
Yeah.
And the guy read the line was, I haven't taken a shit since Easter's.
Yeah.
You know, and I had diarrhea at the time. I should have just said it with, man, I got to take a shit since Easter's.
Yeah. So then what was the turning moment in the after that? Like, you just...
Oh, in 2009, I did this independent movie with Nick Torturo. He was a star, and Joey Coco Diaz, Paul Rodriguez. And the guy in the movie, he liked me. I give everybody my album, my bootleg album.
Yeah.
And the producer, the guy with all the cash, he said, you want to do a movie with your stand-up comedy? And I said, of course, everybody does. Who does it? That's the comedian's dream.
Yeah.
Somebody turn your whole stand-up back into a live movie. So he said, all right. So then I ignored his ass. You know, I never returned his phone calls. It's funny. Somebody asked me, a promoter asked me one time, how do you know if a comedian's funny? Simple, bro. You ask that guy to send you a package and a bio, 8x10 DVD and all that. And if that shit is there the next day, that comedian fucking sucks. Don't even open it. Throw it away. He fucking sucks.
Yeah, that's the truth.
And go, no, you got to fucking get a hold of him or confront him. If you can't get a hold of him, that's the one to break. He's funny, bro.
Yeah.
Good comedy. Don't got time for no fucking publishing bullshit, man.
No.
I got no fax machine like Hannibal Buress says.
So then after that, you just decided that you were going to clean up?
Yeah, man.
Yeah?
Yeah, I started cleaning up, man. And in 2009, we had the meeting in 2008 in December, and he gives me money, man. He gives me a fat check to do a movie with my DVD, with my album. An album I just made at the Ice House, 33 minutes.
Yeah.
Gabriel was doing a one-hour special, one-hour album, and I did 33 minutes after his show. After he did 1 hour, I went back on stage and I recorded 30 minutes after him.
Really?
My comedy album.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So that was my first album. Some people still have that album. I used to promote the album like this because I had no cover. I was burning them before the show.
Yeah.
Just showed up with 10, make a quick 100.
Yeah.
I just make 10 CDs every day before I went up on stage. And I try to get rid of them. If it's out 10, that's $100.
Yeah.
And $100. I made $700 this week.
That's fucking great.
I would do a guest set and be all saying, man, you like my comedy, bro? I got $10, bro. Just buy it. And I would tell the audience, some of these CDs have been known not to work on some CD players. But I swear to God, if you see me again, I would just give you another CD. Try it on a computer.
Try it on a computer.
if you play it backwards, you can hear Gabriel's 1 hour. You know, or whatever. So I saw that. Some people are proud to have that CD.
Yeah, I bet.
So that we did the movie, man. This guy hired a director named Christian Sesma. This guy out of Palm Springs who has worked with that director, producer before. This guy's a young guy. He hired him to direct and to transform my comedy album into a one-hour movie.
Really?
So he wrote it. And he got like one. He wrote like 80 minutes. That's all he got. Like the first, and then I came in, and we rewrote. We wrote other scenes for the movie, and I got a plug. You know, story by Felipe Esparza.
Yeah,
the movie is called "I'm Not Like That No More," and we did it. We shot it in 9 days. The movie went straight to Netflix. No, the movie went straight to iTunes. We had a premiere. I text Paul Rodriguez, hey, Paul Rodriguez, you want to be my father in this movie? Fuck yeah. He became my father.
Shut up.
And the movie, we shot the movie, and the movie is totally all my bits. My father, the ex-wrestler. My brother comes out of the closet during the movie. He's fucking gay.
Yeah.
He has a boyfriend in the movie. I lost my job. It was like a Mexican Friday.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fucking awesome.
And the movie, you can't find the movie anywhere. It's not in print. Hopefully one day I'll buy the rights and rewrite it and reshoot it again.
Yeah, that's fucking great.
And we'll release it. But I got a movie, man.
That's fucking amazing.
That happened to you, right? Somebody took a your life and made
that
movie.
I didn't have anything to do with it.
But then you get shit?
I didn't get shit.
Yeah, man, I got my cash.
Yeah.
You didn't get nothing. What would that feel like, bro?
It's weird. When it happened, I thought...
Not that I didn't know, but my wife told me that there was an article back then when they show all the party high colleges.
Yeah.
I did read that article, but I didn't know that was you all this time.
Really?
Because now when I used to watch your show, Bert Kreischer,
yeah,
and I was saying, oh, shit. And I knew who you were when I would watch your show. And I said, this guy, man.
Yeah.
I would tell somebody, I know this guy.
Yeah.
Then when I saw your show, and I said, all right. I said, that's Bert, the Destroyer.
Yeah.
This guy's crazy, man.
Yeah, the Rolling Stone wrote that article about me, and then Oliver Stone optionized my life. I think it's the thing that gave me confidence to try stand-up for the first time.
How come he didn't buy the story?
Because it was a free option. Because he didn't need to. Because I was some college kid. He's like, hey, we're going to try to make a movie about you. Is that cool? I was like, yeah. If he had said, you know, hey, we want to do this and it's, you know, $100,000, I would have been like, oh, yeah, of course. But he could have said it for free and I would have been like, oh, okay. And like, I got an agent and the agent's like, listen, it's better than nothing. You get an opportunity. Maybe you get a part in the movie. Maybe, you know, you can try to write some it. He's like, you'll learn. It's a good step into the business. So I was like, okay. So he does that. I try stand up. I move to New York. Start doing stand-up, and then I just thought it was just going to die. I thought it died. Well, it did die. It died with Oliver Stone. And then my agent called me one day. It was like my agent and both my managers were on the phone, and they were like, hey, that movie about the Oliver Stone that's coming out. And I was like, what is it? And they're like, it's Van Wilder. And I went, what's that? What is that? And they were like, Ryan Reynolds. I knew Ryan Reynolds was. And they were like, you know, we want to sue. And Barry Katz, best advice. By the way, best advice I've ever gotten.
That was your manager
at the time. Yeah,
me too.
Barry, right now?
No, not right now.
Back then?
Yeah.
Barry Katz gave me the best advice ever. He said, "Bapa, there's two types of people in this business: people who work and people who sue." I'll say this. I don't think I've talked about this. I don't know if I have or I haven't. But I just was like, you know what? He's right. I was already working. What do I want to sue for? You know, I believed that. I was trying to get past the Rolling Stone thing and just be this, like, be a good comic. I wanted to be a really good comic. I wanted people to like me for my comedy and not even know that that was about me. And so I was like, all right, whatever. I'm just going to keep moving forward. Just kept working. Cut to, like, a month ago, I get a fucking general meeting. I go in and they're like, it's like at this art gallery. And the guys they're like, hey, man, they have my book out there. And they're like, they're big fans. And I was like, oh, thanks. And they're like, do you know what we do? And I'm like, no, my manager, Judy Brown was next to me. She goes, why don't you tell them what you guys have done? And they're like, we produced the movie Van Wilder. And I went, shut up. Now I look at that moment and I go, and they were cool as fuck. They were cool as fuck. And quite honestly, I didn't write the script. Some other guy wrote the script. I had nothing to do with them writing it. He wrote it on his own thing. It was just based on the idea that someone wanted to see a party animal and a journalist get together. That's it. That's the only premise that you could draw a connection in between that movie and my life at all. This guy wrote his own fucking movie. I had nothing to do with that. He deserves entire credit for people liking that movie. I have nothing to fucking do with that. But, you know, theoretically, I could have sued, and I would have never had this great opportunity that I have now to make a sitcom with these very successful producers and possibly do another movie about my life, about the machine, the time I robbed the train in Russia. And so it was the greatest moment, and I thought, well, that left that meeting, and I went, man, I am fucking so grateful that I didn't, that I just, like, was like, you know what? I hope it does well. I hope I meet them sometime because they're cool as fuck and they know what the fuck they're talking about. I sat down with these guys and they broke me off on like how my voice should be in a sitcom. And I went, I don't think anyone's ever told me that. I was fucking floored. And I was like, I left that meeting. I go, I want to work with these motherfuckers. I don't give a fuck. I'll write my own script. I'll write 10 scripts for them. If they can get me a writer, great. But like they were fucking, I liked them a lot. I liked them a whole lot. And so, yeah, but that's my story. I don't have any money about it, but. I don't know. You might be the most fascinating person I've ever talked to on a podcast. I'm not even fucking around. This whole time, I've been doing two things. I've been listening, and I've been looking to make sure it's recording, because I keep saying, this is the best podcast I've ever done.
Oh, thank you.
You're like Joey. Like, you guys have real...
That's right, cocksuckers. I'm just like Joey Coco Diaz right here, man. And it's not about the he-he's and the ha-ha.
It's just, but like, it's funny because in seeing you that first time that I ever saw you do stand up, I was like fascinated. I was like, God, man, his voice is very original. Like your voice was very distinct,
and the thing, it was funny, huh?
Fucking hilarious. And I remember thinking, you can't write like the, it was the nuance. Like there's nuance in a joke that makes me go, that guy's fucking, that guy is fascinating. I forget what yours was that night. I'll give you an example. Mike Young had a rough life. You know Mike Young?
Mike Young.
He had a rough life in Detroit. He grew up rough. You know, his dad died when he was young, and he had, I think he inherited a copper business. And but like he told this one story about like, you remember how that fucked up kid? And he's like the fucked up kid where everyone's, you'd all be like looking to do something crazy, and he takes it to the next level. You guys, hey guys, let's go TP Brenda's house, and his, and then your friend's like, fuck it, let's kidnap her dad, and you're like, and you're like, okay, that's a real story. Like that's like, it comes from a real place, but like, it's that those little things where you know the person's telling the truth, and you go, this is the truth. Like Richard Pryor, we're like, when I was two kids, you had to have ringworm, be able to fuck a dog. And you're like, what? Like, it's that real shit. I'm so glad I fucking met you, man. I'm so glad. You still smoke pot?
Yeah.
You were telling me, what's the name? Got dabbed out.
Fred Stoller.
Yeah, I got dabbed out. I ran into Felipe at the airport, and you were, so it was so funny because, you know, you greeted me the same way I would greet anyone. Like, you know, and I didn't expect that. You were just like, you were like, hey, fool. And I was like, I came over and had a beer with you guys. I think I was the only one drinking. Yeah. And you were like, he got dabbed out last night. And Fred Stoller does not look like a guy who gets dabbed out.
It's not that. I don't know what's happened, man. Yeah, you got, Fred Stoller got, it's crazy. Like, we were taking photos outside. You know, the fans want to take photos.
Yeah.
And Fred Stoller's dabbed out, right? And he's trying to like relax, get his composure together to take photos.
Yeah.
And this crazy Mexican guy, you know, like a crazy fan, you know, crazy guy, cholo looking guy, bald head. He's knocking at the green room door. Fuck, come on, fucking Seinfeld. Fucking Seinfeld. You know, you gotta take fucking photos, homie. What the fuck you doing, homie?
How does Fred's act go over with your fans?
They like him because they know him all the shows.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's people yelling out, anybody see me anything? And then there's some gangster right there, like, get off the phone, homie. Get off the phone, homie.
Now, do you still drink at all?
No, not at all.
No, not at all.
I haven't drank since 2009.
Really?
Since we shot that movie.
Really? So that movie was that you were like, all right, I'm going to get fucking focused.
Yeah, man, because I got really violent one time. You know, man, I got really violent one time. You know, I wanted to do crack, and my ex-girlfriend didn't want to let me out of the car, man. And I said, you better let me out of the car. I'll fucking kill you.
Yeah.
I need to be restrained, bro, okay? That's how bad it was. You know, and I just, man, it was a crazy. It was like, I felt like a little kid who didn't want to go to the fucking store with his mom no more.
Yeah.
You know, you get to the point where I don't want to go shopping with you no more.
Yeah.
I don't need new shoes, you know?
Yeah.
I want crack. So I just ran out of her car, stopped running without stopping, and I just try to find the first. It's sad that they always look for black crackheads, but that's the way it is.
Yeah.
You know, when you want crack. Yeah. Or look for a Mexican guy who doesn't speak English.
Really?
So I went. That was my last binge. And I had to shoot a movie, man. So I disappeared, and something. I did that drug that's kind of like heroin for the first time.
Methadone?
No, the other one. Oxycontin.
Oxycontin. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, man. Somebody said you gotta snort it, but I didn't want to snort it, so I just chewed on them, and I just drank them with alcohol.
Really?
And then the next day we had to shoot the movie, man.
Really?
The first scene. So the next day I said, you know, fuck this. It's not going to work out like this. So I stood sober for the whole movie. Then I kept going day by day, and I stood sober.
Really?
Yeah.
And then just weed just chills you out?
Weed chills me out, man. I calm down.
It's like Joey. Joey had problems with drugs.
I don't want to fuck around, you know what I'm saying?
Did you ever talk to Joey about that?
Yeah. I used to, like with Joey, he was the first guy I met that helped me get what I need, you know? When I first started smoking weed, I don't know where to buy pot.
Yeah.
And he told me where to get it. And then when I first did blow again, because the first time I did coke, I didn't know what coke was. And I didn't know the references, you know, for powder. I knew crack. I didn't know powder.
Yeah.
Somebody said, you want a bump? And I really gave him like a disco bump. I said, fool, I thought you never asked. Do the hustle. Because I was drunk, man, and I was hyper.
Yeah.
And this guy said after a comedy show, hey, homie, you want a bump? And I said, I thought you never asked. And I was thinking, too, you know, bumping him. Yeah. I kept bumping him. You know, he got mad. So I ended up going to his house, and we did a lot of bumps.
Yeah.
I stood at his house for a day and a half.
Really?
Doing coke and those little pills that you cut in pieces.
Xanax. Yeah. Yeah, so you just smoke weed now, and you've got a son that's like 13?
I have a stepson who's 11.
Okay, 11.
He's 2. I've known him since he was 2 years old. He's 11 now, so he's my wife's son.
Yeah.
Blonde hair, blue eyes, everything I wanted in a son, you know? Bert, I'm raising my own Aryan army. Watch out, man. He goes, orale. He don't say if you're high, he says, orale.
And you got him, and then you got your 2 kids?
Yeah. It's sad because sometimes I'm walking with my stepson when he was like 6, you know. Yeah. I'm walking with my stepson at the mall holding his hand. Then I see my real son coming. It feels uncomfortable. I feel like I'm cheating on him.
Really?
I got to tell my stepson, let go of my hand, fake. They got to tell my son, you know, because he's not used to seeing me on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
But he's used to seeing me on Saturdays from 9 to 9.
Yeah.
So I got to tell him, listen, man, your days are Saturdays from 9 to 9. Right now you're breaking a court order decision made by your dumbass mom.
What we should probably wrap this up. I gotta All right. See, yeah, wait, what's your tour dates look like?
Oh, shit, hold on. My tour dates, fool.
I'm going to post this. I got to post the Owen Benjamin one. I'll post this one like within the 24 hours.
Oh, that's fine. Thank you. I'll be at the Capital City Comedy Club, Austin. Or the Austin City Comedy Club.
Cap City Comedy Club, yeah.
Yeah, Cap City, May 27th to the 30th. I'm coming with Rodrigo Torres and Chris Thorin, my sponsor. And Rodrigo, my co-host of What's Up Food Podcast.
Yeah.
And I'm going to Boise, Idaho for the first time, man. And I'm not going there to pick potatoes, all right? I'm going there. I'm going to be at the Egyptian Theater June 6th. Boise, Idaho, first time ever. Boston, I'm coming at you to June 18th through 20th. I already messed up my own handwriting. I don't know where I'm going to be at. I don't even know. I can't read it. But I'll be at some comedy club in Boston, June 18th through the 20th. And, yeah, man.
Awesome. My dates are pretty fucking simple. DC Improv. Guys, watch Trip Flip June 2nd. That's it. DC Improv, June 11th through the 13th. And then Trip Flip June 2nd, 8 p.m. Everyone watch it. And I'm going to get you on an episode of Birth of Conqueror.
Oh, thank you, bro. Appreciate it.
We'll ride a coaster together. It'll be fun as fuck.
What's a coaster?
Roller coaster.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we'll ride a roller coaster together. We'll do something fun. We'll do something crazy because we're doing an episode out here.
Hell yeah.
It'll be fucking blast.
Hell yeah.
And then those are my tour dates. And then I'm shooting Birth Conqueror, Addison Improv, Gotham, Orlando, Fort Lauderdale. A lot of those are all coming up.
Felipe. You watching my podcast?
Yeah.
Check out my podcast, What's Up Food Podcast. We just have random guests I meet in the streets or people who I find interesting or people who are just whatever, man.
That's fucking awesome, man.
I had crazy people on my podcast.
You're the fucking real deal, man.
Thank you, bro. You're the real deal too, fool.
I could listen to you tell any story.
I'm glad we never met, bro. When you were getting fucked up, bro, we would have caused damage.
Oh,
we would have. I'm really glad that Christmas.
I'm glad that our paths didn't meet until
never.
Now.
I'm glad you and I and Joe Diaz never crossed paths at the same time, because that would have been the No Sleep to Brooklyn tour. No Sleep to Brooklyn, sponsored by the Dirt Devil.
Dude, thank you so much.
Thank you, Bert Kreischer. Join a motherfucker bone.
This episode was brought to you by The Machine.